Can cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, O Jesus.
God bless you, folks. Thank you so much for joining the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. We love you. We appreciate you. And we hope you're praying for us. We've been studying on the Pharisees and Saul and Eli ministries and what they represent in the Scriptures and a revelation that the Lord is giving us of what time it is. You know, where are we in God's scheme of things right now? What's happening and what's coming down the road? And so the Lord started speaking to me about this a couple of weeks ago. And about that time, a bunch of dreams started coming and revelations of things the Lord had spoken to me in the past. And I asked the Lord a few questions and he gave me some answers. So that's why we're doing this. You know? So I'd like to continue. If you remember in our last study, we were looking at the fact that God always repeats history, for one thing, and then the fact that Jesus came along, and it's prophesied in Luke chapter 1, I'll read that to you, verse 31, it says, Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Praise God. And so we see that Jesus came to sit in the throne of David and rule over New Testament spiritual Israel. He was a repetition of the Davidic ministry over Israel. And we discovered a parallel there that we're finding in other places in the Scriptures. And that is when Jesus came on the scene to lead those that had eyes to see and ears to hear, that there was a ministry already in place that fought him every step of the way. And as you know, before David came on the scene, there was a Saul ministry, you know. And that's what the Pharisees represented in this case. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Zealots, and all the heads of denominations in that day, they represented this Saul ministry. And what can we find out about the Saul ministry? Well, for one thing, Jesus said things about them that were true of Saul, and that is that they were leading the people badly, leading them to destruction, weren't obedient to the commands of the Lord. And, of course, Jesus said of the Pharisees, you know, that they have made of no effect the word of God by their traditions. And if you remember, we looked at verses that spoke about them raising up people to be sons of the devil, literally, Jesus spoke of. And that if they made a convert, it was somebody that was twofold more a son of hell than themselves. What kind of a ministry of God's people would raise up people to be sons of hell and sons of the devil? And who in the world could believe that after being raised up in that religious institution or institutions that they could possibly be that? And they, of course, didn't believe that they were that. And let me say that there are many people today that are in Christianity. They're just as mean as snakes. And they think they're sons of God. And it's sad, but you know you'll know them by their fruit. Where are we? Well, in Jesus' day, and I shared with you what the Lord showed me and also what the Scripture had to say, that all of that was going to be repeated in our day. Everything in the Gospels and in the book of Acts is going to be repeated in our day, except the cast of characters is multiplied many times over. In other words, every time history repeats, it repeats with more people. So we see corporate body entities in the book of Revelation and in the types and shadows there. And all through the Gospels in the book of Acts, we're going to see that, folks. So what we saw that Jesus pronounced that before his coming, God had reprobated that ministry. He prophesied in Matthew 13 what Isaiah the prophet said of them, and that is that their eyes were dull of seeing and their ears were dull of hearing. Excuse me, I got that wrong. But anyway, they couldn't see and they couldn't hear. They did not understand what Jesus was bringing to them from the Father. And they were jealously protecting their turf, so to speak. And, of course, they were the ones, these so-called people of God, they were the ones who persecuted the saints and killed the saints. Do you think it's going to be any different in our day? It's not. History just repeats. That's how we know God's in control. History just repeats. So we see that Saul ministry was leading people to destruction. And if they hadn't listened to Jesus, they would have all been destroyed. But God saved a remnant through the man-child Jesus. And I shared with you how that Jesus said in John 16 how that he was going to repeat that history again in the end time. That he was going to be gone for a little while, but when he returned, he was going to return like a little baby boy, a man-child, born to a woman in travail. John 16. And we see that in Revelation chapter 12. So that history that he talked about in that day was repeating. Now, we've got another man-child ministry coming. And let me say that before that ministry comes, God is going to reprobate another Saul ministry. Before the David ministry comes again, he's going to reprobate another Saul ministry. So recently, just a few weeks ago, and it's now the end of 07. We're in December of 07, in case some of you don't watch this until a year or two down the road. But recently I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, where are we? Show me where we are in the scheme of things, in the timeline, and so on and so forth. And the Lord immediately brought me to 1 Chronicles chapter 10. Now let me read to you what's going on here. Remember that the Saul ministry led their people to destruction, led them to death, you know? Wow, led them to death, and yet they thought they were such religious people. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 and 11 that that's all a type and a shadow for us. You see, there are a lot of people that believe they are children of God, and they are totally deceived. And you can tell by their fruit if you just judge by the Word of God, you see. What you believe you are will not make a whole lot of difference. Like I say sometimes, it won't amount to a hill of beans compared to what Jesus said about the Scriptures, that you're going to be judged by them. So, I mean, we need to know what the Scriptures say. Well, 1 Chronicles 10, where are we, Lord? He brings me to 1 Chronicles 10 and verse 1. Now, the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard after Saul and after his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua and the sons of Saul. Now, what are we talking about here? Well, we know that God has shown us what some of the types represent. And this type right here, the Philistines were the people that dwelt in the land before Israel was commanded to come in and to conquer them and to take that land. And so what we need to understand is the same thing, the parallel that we saw in the book of Exodus, which was that the Egyptians represented the old man that lived in the land, and the Israelites were in bondage to the old man. And God sent his man-child, Moses, in there to lead his people out of bondage to the old man. He even took them through baptism in the Red Sea, where the old man was drowned. You know, when you go down in the waters of baptism, the old man's dead, isn't he? You reckon him yourself to be dead in sin, but now you're alive unto Christ. And the new man comes up on the other side, right? Well, this is the same with the Promised Land, folks. The Israelites were the spiritual man that was to conquer the old man who lived in the land. And these Philistines were now conquering them. What do you think that represents? When the old man conquers the new man. Not a good thing, right? Does it ever happen? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, let me read this to you. Hebrews chapter 6. This is an extreme example, I admit, but at least to let you know that this does happen. Hebrews 6 and 4. For as touching those who were once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and the taste of the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, you'd of course say that this has to be Christians, right? Well, of course. And then fell away, it's impossible to renew them unto repentance. For they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh. Who is the Son of God? How can you crucify to yourself the Son of God? Except that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And who is Christ in you? He is that born again man. He is the spiritual man. He was being created, recreated in the image of Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they're spirit and they're life. And those words went into his disciples and they recreated his spirit and his life in them. You see? So there is a man in you, a spiritual man in you, that is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, now he's talking about someone who has partaken of very much of the kingdom, the heavenly gift, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the powers of the age to come, and then they fell away. And he says, in such a case, when somebody's gone that far and decided to go back, God's not going to grant them repentance. Well, there are people who are in lesser cases that do repent and do come back to the Lord. Okay, we know that. But listen to what's being said here. They crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Well, what happened here was the old man conquered the new man, didn't he? Put him to death, crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, you know, and put him to an open shame. They walked willfully against the Lord and crucified the spiritual man. And it goes on to say, for God, for the land which hath drunk the rain, that cometh oft upon it. The rain could be the rain of the Spirit or the rain of the Word, you know. That cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them whose sake it is also tilled, receiveth blessing from God. But if it beareth thorns and thistles, it is rejected and nigh unto a curse, whose end is to be burned. I know a lot of people don't believe that, but the facts are, yes, it is to be burned. Rejected here is the word adokimos. It means reprobated. Reprobated, meaning not standing the test. Rejected by God. Well, notice, in this particular scenario, the new man was conquered. Bad deal, right? But actually, the Bible tells us that that is exactly what can happen. Matter of fact, I'll read this to you in James chapter 5, verse 19. And it says, my brethren, if any among you err from the truth, brethren, you would say that's talking about Christians, right? Of course, James was written to Christians, right? So, my brethren, if any among you err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he who converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall cover a multitude of sins. How can a soul die, right? Because there's two men living in your land, right? There's the new man and the old man. And if you walk after the new man, he will conquer the old man. And if you walk after the old man, he will conquer the new man. And I'd like to read to you Jude. That was James. This is Jude. Verse 11. And it says, woe unto them, for they went in the way of Cain. Now, what did Cain do? Of course, Cain killed his brother, the spiritual one in the family. the old man conquered the new man, so to speak. And if you really want proof of that, did you know that when Seth was born, he was called a replacement for Abel? Why was God replacing Abel? Because when a person comes into the world, they begin to walk after their flesh very naturally, and that fleshly man puts to death the spiritual man. We've all gone astray, each one after his own way. And that spiritual man represents the one that Cain killed, which is Abel. So there had to be a replacement. There had to be a born-again spiritual man. And the next one that came along was Seth. See, that's why he was a replacement. It even says it there very plainly in Genesis, that he was a replacement for Abel. So They went in the way of Cain, you know, putting to death the spiritual man, and ran riotously in the error of Balaam for hire. As you know, many people are living after the lusts of their flesh, and they're selling their birthright, you know, just like Esau was. And they're doing things because of gain, not because, and they believe doctrines because of gain, not because it's the truth or what they need, right? And they perished in the gainsaying of Korah. And, of course, Korah was one who was usurping authority and usurping the authority that God rightly gave to Moses and Aaron. And these are they who are hidden rocks in your love feasts when they feast with you, shepherds that without fear feed themselves, clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, twice dead and plucked up by the roots, twice dead. How can you be twice dead? Well, you have to be twice born. You have to be born again and died again. Does that happen? Yes, it does. The old man conquers the new man when a person walks after their flesh. Matter of fact, I'll read that to you, Romans chapter 8. Let me read that to you. In verse 12, it says, "So then, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you, brethren," notice this, brethren, this is brothers and sisters here, this is the people of God, "if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live." If you walk after the flesh, you're feeding the flesh. If you feed the flesh will conquer your spiritual man. There are many people still sitting on a pew, folks, and there's many leaders still leading churches, and they've been dead for a long time. The Bible even says in Ephesians, you know, "She that giveth herself to pleasure is dead while she liveth." There are many people that are dead. They had a relationship with God. They walked with God. They had a conscience. And they loved to please God. And in some way now they love to please man. They love to please religion. They love to please their flesh. Well, you know, in 1 Chronicles chapter 10, I'm going back there, by the way. In 1 Chronicles chapter 10, we see the story of the Philistines conquering Israel. And let me read on here. "And as we saw, the Philistines conquered the people of Israel and conquered Saul and his three sons. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers overtook him, and he was distressed by reason of the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, Draw thy sword, and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. And therefore Saul took his sword and fell upon it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he likewise fell upon his sword and died. And so Saul died, and his three sons, and all of his house together." What do you think that talking about is? Saul and his house fell together. It's interesting that Saul led God's people to their death. Saul represents a ministry in our day that is leading a people that are called Israel to their death. And why would Saul do such a thing? How could he do such a thing? What would cause him to do such a thing? Well, number one, let me share with you that Saul had a very bad start. Well, he had a very good start, but shortly after that, he had a very bad continuation there. In 1 Samuel 15, we see a command that God gave to Saul. Now, Saul had won some battles for the people of God, you know, and up until this time. And God gave him a command in 1 Samuel 15. "And Samuel said unto Saul, The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I have marked that which Amalek did to Israel, and how he set himself against him in the way when he came out of Egypt." Who is it that oppresses us and stands in our way when we seek to come out of the world? Well, it's the old man, right? Who was it that sought to destroy Israel when they wanted to come out of the world, come out of Egypt, right? Well, you know, it was the Egyptians. It was the old man. And that's what Amalek here represents, is is those who resisted them coming out of the world and going to the promised land, right? So he set himself against him in the way when he came up out of Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not and slay both man and woman and infant and suckling and ox and sheep and camel and ass and so on and so forth. God said, wipe them out. Don't leave anything. Now you say, well, that is really merciless, right? Well, until you stop and figure out who he's talking about here in the spirit, not in the letter. The letter was true, and it happened, and it was a type and a shadow that's been given to us, 1 Corinthians 10 and 11. So if it's for us, what does it mean? We're not going to go around killing Amalekites, are we? No, we have to see this in the spirit, right? And in the spirit, what is it saying? Well, our enemies that resist us coming out of this world, we must put them to death. Every man, every woman, every child, all of them, all the beasts, they all have to die. And God doesn't give any ifs, ands, or buts about it. And but Saul didn't obey. And he spared somebody. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 8. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag. And the best of the sheep and the oxen and so on and so forth. They spared Agag. And what does Agag represent? I mean, he was the leader over the flesh, right? He represented the mind of the flesh. He was the brains of the outfit, right? He was the mind of the flesh. And Saul spared the mind of the flesh. God said, go and kill them all. Don't leave a man or don't leave a woman and don't even leave a child. They all have to die. And you know that we can't. This old man can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, except you lose your life, you won't gain your life. As long as this man lives, we're in danger of losing our life. I'm talking about we, the spiritual man, are in danger of losing our life. As long as the old man lives. That's why God says, don't have any mercy on him. Put him to death. Kill him immediately. Don't have any mercy. So he spares this, which I believe represents the mind of the flesh. And what did God say about that? Well, of course, Samuel caught Saul sparing this man, and he rebuked him. He said, in verse 17, he said, while you were little in your own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the problem was he got too big for his britches, right? He didn't want to do what God had commanded. He began to reason for himself, like a lot of people do nowadays, especially leadership over God's people. They like to reason for themselves. You know what? God doesn't care about our reasoning. He just wants us to obey what he's written. You know, and people try to worm their way out of it, you know. And God said down in verse 23, he says, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee. There it is. There's your reprobation right there. He hath rejected thee from being king. And what did Saul say? Well, I feared the people, and I obeyed their voice. Well, isn't that true of a lot of preachers today, folks? They fear the people. They want to obey them. They want to please them. They want to make sure they keep paying their tithes and so on and so forth, right? Isn't it just that way? And you know what? From then on, shortly after that, in chapter 16, God anointed little David to be king. He didn't become king right there. He just anointed him from that time forth. And at the same time, of course, Saul, the Spirit, verse 14, 16 and 14, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Oh, boy. From that point on, everything was downhill for him. Why? Because he didn't kill the old man. He didn't lead God's people to kill the old man. And so what happened? He led them to their death because the Philistines conquered them. See, the old man conquered them. You know, another type is, I think, pretty neat. The story of David and Goliath. Now, you remember the story how that little David, he'd killed his lion and his bear, and he'd had experience, and he just flat out told Saul, look, this guy's no problem. He's no problem. We can take care of him. But Saul said to David, they are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for they are but a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth. And it's true. The old flesh is, you know, from our youth. It's been conquering us and keeping us under, and a mighty giant, right, to us. We just don't think it can be conquered. The problem is when people who call themselves preachers don't think that he can be conquered. It's because they don't even know the gospel. They haven't read the Bible, and they haven't got a revelation from God. And you don't want to sit under anybody like that. That's a Saul ministry, because they don't know that you can conquer the giant. That was the bad report, by the way, that was given to the people of God when they went in and looked at the promised land and found these giants there. You know, the 10 spies died in the wilderness because they didn't believe you could conquer the giants. Well, Joshua and Caleb did. And they walked into the promised land in their bodies, folks. They were the only ones that walked straight into the promised land, never even died. And so, well, Saul had an idea. David, you know, was telling Saul, look, I took care of the lion and the bear when they came out against the sheep, came out against God's flock, and this uncircumcised Philistine, I can take care of him too by the grace of God, right? Well, verse 38. This is interesting. Chapter 17, verse 38. And Saul clad David with his apparel, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and he clad him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword, that's Saul's sword, upon his apparel, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. Well, who had proved them? Saul was the only one that had proved his own armor, right? What Saul was saying is, that giant can't be conquered. I ain't going out there. Here, you take my armor and you go. You take care of him for me. I'm not going out there. Well, you know, nobody can conquer that for you, that giant for you. Everybody's got to conquer their own giant, folks. And tell you the truth, the Lord's already done it at the cross. So all we got to do is accept that. We were crucified with Christ, the old man, the one that's ruled over our life and brought us into bondage, the one who's lived in the land even before the born-again spiritual man comes into the land, right? That one is the one that's ruled over us, and he is like a giant to us, you know? And Saul and his ministry said, you can't handle that guy. He's been a warrior from his youth, and you're just a little old nobody, you know? But I tell you what, even little old nobodies can handle him. You know why? Because Jesus and you together is the maximum that's necessary, right? Amen. So he said he hadn't proven these. What had he proved? He had never wore any armor. His armor was the Lord. In fact, he told Goliath, you come to me with a sword and a spear, and I just come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. That's all he had was the name, you know. That was his armor, you know. And I'm going to take your head off you, and I'm going to feed you to the birds. Now, that little guy had a lot of spunk, didn't he? But you know what? It wasn't just spunk. It was the faith of the Lord inside him. He knew he took out that lion, that bear, and he knew it wasn't him. He knew it was God, you know? And you know what? When a person walks by faith, they handle bigger and bigger enemies, you know, and it just comes natural to them, you know? Well, anyway, he did conquer the giant, and he cut off his head, didn't he? And, of course, Saul spared the head of the flesh, and David cut it off. And I'll tell you what, not only that, David took out the Amalekites. He obeyed God. He took them out, man, woman, and child. Listen to this. Now, this was when David was, before he came into the kingdom, before he ruled over, he was anointed to be king over all Israel. He'd already been anointed by Samuel, but that was a pre-anointing. You know what I'm talking about? And he was in the wilderness with his men, and he was fighting the battles of Israel while Saul was over there officially officiating over the kingdom. David was out there fighting the battles for Israel. And it says in 1 Samuel 27 and 8, and I think that's what's happening today, folks, frankly. David hadn't yet assumed the throne. He hadn't yet come to the anointing of the kingdom. But right now, he's out there fighting the battles of the kingdom. And David and his men went up and made a raid upon the Jeshurites and the Gerzites. I can't pronounce all these very well, but you'll have to bear with me. And the Amalekites, for these nations were the inhabitants of the land who were of old, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. So these were the first rulers of the land. Like your old flesh was the first ruler of this land. You saw in Hebrews 6 that God's calling the land this life that we live in, you know. This has got to bear fruit. That old man's got to die, right? And David smote the land and saved neither man nor woman alive and took away the sheep and the oxen and so on and so forth. So he put all he saved not a man or not a woman alive. He conquered the Amalekites. And so, you know what? David didn't have any problem leading God's people to conquer his enemies because, what? He first conquered the old man, right? Well, Saul didn't conquer the old man. He didn't obey. He didn't put to death the mind of the flesh. And so what happens is the Philistines come back and conquered him and all the people he was leading. Now, that's a ministry that we're living amongst right now, folks. These are ministries all around the world right now. They don't believe in conquering the flesh. They like to live peaceably with the old man. You know, we want to live with the old man, but the old man is going to come back and conquer you. You can't both live in the same property. You know, they're going to come back and conquer you. And they did. They took Saul out. And that's the reason. He didn't obey God. He didn't put to death the old man. He didn't put to death the old man. You know what happened? You know, when they conquered Saul, they took his head off and put it in the head of the house of their God. What do you think that means? So, see, he was supposed to take the old man's head off. You know, when Samuel greeted Saul returning from the slaughter of the Amalekites, he rebuked him, said, God's taken the kingdom away from you and given it to someone better than you. And he took his sword immediately, and he hewed Agag in pieces. He put him totally to death, didn't leave it, but tiny little pieces of him. He knew how important it was to put this leader of the old man to death, you know. And Saul didn't know that. He was having mercy. He thought he had more wisdom. And, of course, it's painful to put to death the old man. But it's a command from God. We have to lose our life to gain our life. And he just totally missed out on what the Lord was trying to say to him. You know, years ago, actually before moving to Florida, the Lord gave me a vision. And I was sitting with my wife in my front yard in some lawn chairs, looking at the highway in front, looking at the power lines going by in front of my house. And in this vision, I saw that the power lines that were hanging from pole to pole were actually almost touching the ground. They were hanging very, very low. And my wife and I were looking at this, you know, in our rested position, resting on the grass, resting in our lawn chairs, watching this happening, you know. And as we rested, a tornado came over those power lines, right over those power lines, and picked us up and carried us away. And I'll just share the first part with you, what the Lord showed me. The first part he showed me was that we're called to rest from our works. We're with the grass under our feet, and all flesh is as grass, right? We have to have dominion over the old man. And we rest from our own works. You know, we can't save ourselves. The Lord's already done it. All he wants us to do is believe what he said and rest in it and trust in him, and he will bring it to pass, you know. But as we rest from our own works, that's where God's power comes in. You know, he that hath believed doth enter in to that rest, the scripture says. You know, when you believe God's promises, there's nothing left for you to do but to trust and to rest and to cease. If you really believe he's done it, then trust him, you know. So anyway, when we enter into that rest, that's where God's power comes in. Now, God professes that he is the power behind the tornadoes. They all obey him, you know, and the tornado came and picked us up and carried us away. Well, you know, our ministry changed after that, and God did everything miraculously as far as providing for us. He moved us. He bought us a house. He paid for everything, bought us a car. Everything we asked and we believed for, God did. And he moved us over here. We knew that that's what this vision was about. But there was a second part to the vision. And the second part of the vision was that I seemed to have came down in front of this church building. Okay, and I went into the foyer, I guess you would call it, of the church building. And I saw an old man standing, you know, right in the middle of this foyer. And he was like the ruler of this place. I knew he was the pastor. But he was a very old man, and I knew that the Lord showed me afterwards the interpretation was that this was the old man ruling in this church. And I believe he represented a ministry that I ran into right after that and many that I came to know after that. So when I saw this old man, it was like I knew that I was not supposed to have any relationship with this guy. So I went around, I hugged the outside of the wall, literally, of this foyer, and then I went into the sanctuary. I got as far away from that guy as I could get, you know. And it would do you a lot of good to get as far away from some of them that you're listening to as you can get, too. But anyway, I went into the sanctuary, and I saw in the middle of the sanctuary a big sink, a big double sink. I noticed something in the sink, and I ran over there, and I saw that the sink was filled with babies, and they were all face down in this sink. And I thought most of them were dead. And I reached in, and I grabbed one baby, and I shoved the baby's face up to the light, and the baby spoke. And the baby said, thank God. I knew he was going to send someone. And the Lord really spoke to me about this, is that the old man is ruling in much of the churches, many of the churches. It's the old man. It's not the spiritual man. It's the old man. He has conquered the spiritual man in many cases. In many cases, that spiritual man is dead because he doesn't have any power to rule. And, you know, what we're talking about here is Saul leading his people to spiritual death, not physical death, spiritual death. You can be dead while you're still going to church, but you have no relationship with God. You no longer hear his voice, and your spiritual man that once heard him very well, even as a baby, no longer hears him. Well, anyway, I picked this baby up, and the baby said, thank God. I knew he was going to send someone. And I understood that the Lord had sent me. This was a type and a shadow of the Lord sending me to save babies from the old man who is trying to clean them up with the water of the Word of God. You know, you can use the Word of God in an attempt to clean people up. You can use legalism, for instance. You can manipulate the Word to your own advantage, to your own gain, to all kinds of things. You can live unworthy of the Word and then have a doctrine that justifies your unworthy life, like a lot of false doctrines are. You see, all these things bring death to the baby. The baby here represents that spiritual man, the one who is eternal, the one who has eternal life. Remember, the old man doesn't have eternal life. That's why he has to die down here. But the spiritual man, there are many people who have become twice dead and plucked up by the roots because they followed a Cain, a Balaam, an Eli, a Saul, a Pharisee. They've become twice dead. In other words, Saul has led his people to lose their life at the hands of their own fleshly man, you see. They walked after the flesh, used the word while doing it, and walked after the flesh. And where does it lead? Romans 8 says it leads to death. You might still be standing on your feet, still going to church, still talking the talk, but you can't walk the walk. So what the Lord showed me was that when I put that baby's face up to the light, you know, and the baby got their eyes off the earth, you know, they were face down. You know, if you're face down in the water, that brings certain death, doesn't it? You know, the same water that gives life also brings death. You know, what God told Moses. I said before you this day, a blessing and a curse. The Word of God is both a blessing and a curse. It depends on your relationship to it. If you obey it, it's a blessing. If you submit to it, if you have faith in it, it's a blessing. If you disobey it, it's a curse. If you walk after the flesh, you must die. And so, many preachers get people's eyes on themselves. They get their eyes on the earth. They get their eyes on what they have to do or what they can do. You see, all that's being face down in the water. It doesn't bring anything but death. But you know, You can be in the water and of the water, like Moses means drawn from the waters, you know. You can be in the water, you can be of the water, but if you've got your face on the sun, the water's a blessing to you. You see, it's life, you know. And, of course, keeping our face on the sun is he's the one that supplies our needs. He is the one who works in us to willing to do of his good pleasure. He is the one who's crucified the old man. He is the one that's healed our bodies. He is the one that's delivered us from the curse. It's all accomplished. It's all over, folks. All you got to do is believe what the Bible says. You don't have to be moralized every Sunday. Go down and grieve at an altar because you've been so bad all week because you haven't had any faith because the preacher lied to you. You know, you don't have to do that. Until you die. Some people ultimately just give up, throw their hands up in the air and say, what's the use? It don't work. I tried it. No, you didn't try it. You tried their methods and you tried their ways and they lied to you about the power of God and what God's already done and already accomplished. You've had your eyes on the world the whole time. You know, you need your eyes on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And you know what? All of this becomes life when you got your eyes on the Son of God, you see. Well, the Sauls are leading God's people to death. In Jesus' day, guess what, folks? That was the overwhelming majority of the leadership of God's people. Is it that way today? Yes, it is. Because history always repeats. The things that have been are the things that shall be. And the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. Just as Jesus came as the Davidic ministry to lead God's people, a remnant of God's people, to righteousness and to truth and to purity and the true kingdom of God. Jesus did that. We got a man-child ministry coming right now that's to follow this Saul ministry that we see that's in the leadership right now that's also going to be doing that. Do you know that right after Saul was conquered, David comes on the scene. David gets anointed of the Lord for the to rule all Israel. And guess what it says? Then all Israel gathered themselves to David unto Hebron. Can you imagine all Israel following after the man-child ministry? How can that be? Well, because of who all Israel is. All Israel are those who are grafted into the olive tree through their faith in Jesus Christ. Now, it's not all the people that rejected Jesus or didn't believe what he had to say. Obviously, there were a lot of people that didn't believe what Jesus had to say. They were following Saul. They were following Saul to their death. But Jesus, as David, and the man-child in our day, as David, in whom Jesus lives, of course, Jesus is always going to be the head over all of God's true people, the New Testament spiritual Israel. Jesus led all Israel. Because they all believed in it. Read Romans chapter 11. All Israel are only those people, the Jews who came out of apostate religion, the Gentiles who were grafted in, they're only the people that believe and are born of God, born of the Word that comes down out of heaven, born of God. There are many people born of the Word that comes from the earth. They're born of the Word that's a part of their religion. They're born of the leaven, which has no power to bring forth the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So, here we go again. All these people, we're talking about a great revival coming, folks. Notice, it's a real revival because these people who didn't follow Saul to death are now behind David. Some, if you read the next few chapters, you find out that some of these people came to David while he was already in the wilderness, before he even became king. They came to David. And they followed him, and they fought with David, and they fought the enemies of Israel, and they conquered the enemies of Israel. You know why? Because they were killing their old man, you see. And Saul couldn't conquer the enemies of Israel because he didn't kill his old man. You got an enemy in the camp. You got a spy in the camp here, folks. He's working for the enemy, you see. You can't win unless you conquer the old man, whether it's talking about the Goliath in your own life. You know why David was so successful? He'd already killed Goliath. The old man was dead. Now the Lord was ruling. You see, that's a spiritual type and a shadow for us. And that's why he was able to lead God's people where Saul couldn't lead God's people because he already put the old man to death. So leading God's people to put the old man in the land, the Amalekites, to death was no problem for David because he'd already been there, done that, right? Saul hadn't been there, done that. And so Saul led his people to death. He didn't even believe that the old man could be conquered. He didn't believe that the giant could be conquered. Told David so. See? That's their doctrine today, folks. Just be happy to be forgiven. Never mind thinking you're going to overcome sin, you know. That's their doctrine, folks. How are they going to conquer that old man? They're leaving the old man alive. They're leaving that mind of the flesh alive. It's going to come back to conquer them, and it's happening. Can you see the ministries that are falling, right? Oh, I know they're still propped up. I know they're still preaching. I know they still got people coming. I know they're still gathering in the tithes. But you know what? They're dead. They're dead. They have turned away from God. They're falling. We've got a so-called revival down here in this area that's spread all over these United States and all around the world. And everywhere it goes, it turns people over to the lust of their flesh. Now, I know any of you that fell into that, you're not agreeing with me right now. And I'll tell you why. You got demons in you. That's why. You're not going to agree with it because you got demons in you. But I've been watching it. Every time this so-called revival is prayed over people, these people are turned over to the lust of their flesh. And from then on, they don't care about the Word. They don't think it's necessary. They hear the voice of the Spirit. No matter how contrary to the Word it is, they follow the voice of that Spirit. And it's not the Spirit of God. And we had a preacher here recently. Some of you probably know about this, that wrote a whole book defending Israel and pronounced that Jesus didn't come to be the Messiah. That's interesting. How can you write so much on that when the Bible, the New Testament, tells us so much and so often that He is the Messiah? Over and over and over. Jesus, the Christ, what the word Christ is, Messiah. And who is Antichrist but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah? That's Antichrist. How could so many people be following people like that? Well, I'll tell you what's happening. People are following Saul to death. And you know who the old man is? The old man is ruling in the temple of God. He is the beast ruling in the temple of God. And you know what he's doing? He's leading people to their death. I tell you, we cannot depart from this word. It's the only thing that brings the life of Christ in us. It is the seed of Jesus Christ, this word is. It declares that Matthew 13. He's the sower that sowed the seed that went into the heart that brought forth the fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. There's nothing else that works than the true word of God. While the Sauls out there are defending their flesh, tweaking the word so that the old man can live, you know, and so while they're living after the lust of their flesh and teaching their people to live after the lust of the flesh and keep that old man alive. Now, we don't want him to die on us, you know. While they're doing that, they're dying at the hands of the Philistines. And soon, David's coming on the scene. And you're going to know it because these institutions and their leaders are going to become so corrupt that any child who's read the New Testament one time knows there's something wrong. There's something wrong. Oh, let the Word of God be your guide, folks. I tell you what, there's no safety anywhere but trusting in the Word of God. You know, recently, I shouldn't say recently, this was a few years ago, I know that the Lord spoke to me. He said, I'm moving the Sauls out of the way, and I'm making room for the Davids. And he said, and you're one of my Davids. And right after that, there was ministry after ministry after ministry fell. One thing after another. Most of them were Eli, the sons of Eli. You know, they committed fornication with the women in the church, right? And they plundered the people of God, right? Well, most of those ministries fell just because of that. The same sins that the sons of Eli, who were what? The ministry over the people of God, you see. Ministry after big ministry, big names fell. Big names fell. One right after another. Why? Same thing. They've been living after the lust of their flesh. They got caught. Yeah. No, they didn't come forward and repent. They got caught. There's a difference. And, of course, they did the best to, do damage control and stay in business. That's what I call it. But most of the people who had understanding looked at this and they said, what am I doing here? Well, folks, that's what you're supposed to do. I mean, these things are going to become so corrupt. Babylon, folks, is going to be the hold of every foul demon, the Bible tells us, Revelation 18. The hold, the prison of the demons. What is that saying? There's going to be more demons in the church, as we call it, the church, than there is out of the church. And I tell you what, you want to get demon-possessed? Go to church. You think I'm laughing, but hey, people are being delivered over to religious spirits, lying spirits, deceiving spirits, being taught how to live in the flesh, and they're being led us all to their destruction. The old man's conquered them. They don't even know it. They're quite happy living in the flesh. And when they first came to the Lord, many of these people had a conscience. They would have never given in to this, but slowly, you know, they've been taken over, taken over, taken over. You know, there is a real church. It's the called out ones. And the Bible, Jesus called those people. He went into the sheepfold, John chapter 10. He called his sheep by name, and he called them out. And that was those first disciples that came out of the apostate religions of Judaism and followed Jesus. Now, folks, don't wait for your religion to follow. Not one religion followed Jesus. They're not going to do it today. Don't wait for them to follow. They're not going to do it. None of these organizations are going to do it. People do it. Organizations don't do it. Okay? No organization followed Jesus. Not one. They're not going to follow him this time either. When you see this man-child coming, if you haven't recognized from the Scripture that God is repeating history, you're going to be in trouble because you're going to continue to follow Saul to his death and destruction. And believe me, it's not just spiritual. It's going to be physical, too. I mean, there's a great and terrible day of the Lord that the Saul ministries and the people that follow them are going into. They're not escaping it. They are not going to escape it. And it is a great and terrible day of the Lord. Follows the tribulation period too. No, it's not the tribulation period. It follows the tribulation period as the Scripture teaches. And it's there for the enemies of God's people. You know who the major enemies of God's people are? Religious folks. Who killed all the prophets? Who killed Jesus? Who killed the disciples? Those that call themselves the people of God. They became so reprobate, they couldn't recognize goodness and righteousness and truth. Is it happening in our day? Absolutely. They're following Saul to their death. Come out from among them and be ye separate. You know, when he called forth those disciples to come out of that sheepfold, that was the church. The sheepfold wasn't the church. Church means called out ones. The ones that came out followed Jesus. That was the church. Now, God's going to repeat history. He's got another body of David. Why do I call it a body of David? Because Jesus is the one that lives in his Davids. And Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is coming, according to Ezekiel 34, to shepherd his own sheep. He had enough of the shepherds shepherding his sheep. He's going to shepherd his sheep. And he is going to move and live and speak through a pure vessel, a vessel in whom Goliath is dead, you know, and he is going to once again lead forth his sheep out of the apostate institutions of Christianity. Why? Because if you read the New Testament, you can see very clearly, if you'll just start reading it for yourself and deciding you're going to believe everything you see there, you see, first thing you're going to realize is, I'm in the wrong place. What am I doing here? You know, I should be following the Lamb whithersoever he goes, like Revelation 14 and 4 speaks about. Yeah, 144. They came out from among them. They followed the Lamb whithersoever he went or is going. God bless you, saints. We're going to continue this, and I want to speak to you some more things about this and let you know what day we're in. God says that this is what's happening today. The Philistines are conquering God's people. God bless you, and we'll do it again. Good night.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to www.americaslastdays.com. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-1616, Montgomery, Alabama 36123. Can quench my thirsting soul.
purest water make me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus, trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus, my Lord Jesus.
Friend the poor. They say